It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. There are currently no women representing Allegheny County in the Pennsylvania legislature, and at this point, only two women have declared their candidacy for the state legislature in the 2016 election. Our next guest wants to change that. Allegheny County Controller Chelsea Wagner is a former member of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives. She wants to get more women to run for office and joins me now in studio. Chelsea Wagner, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks so much, Paul.
You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Do you think more women should run for office in Pennsylvania? And how should that happen? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Chelsea Wagner, we should probably begin with the obvious question. Why aren't more women running for political office in Pennsylvania?
Well, it's a complex question.
Sure.
But I think it is very similar to other dynamics you see in Western Pennsylvania. So I think it's fair to say that nationally and in Pennsylvania, you have a big problem with women not represented in the same numbers or near equal numbers to their male counterparts in government. But in Western Pennsylvania, I think you have to label it as a crisis because you look at about 29 seats across, say, our legislative delegation. That means our House and Senate here in Allegheny County, and not one female. And I think part of one aspect of this is that women aren't always running for the open seats or the seats that are more likely to produce a victory. So I know Lisa Bennington was supposed to be here and wasn't able to join us, but if you take the election of 2006, when Lisa and I were became the first from the city of Pittsburgh to be elected to a full-time term in the Pennsylvania legislature, we both were running for seats that had circumstances that made them more winnable. You know, it's not always easy to take out an incumbent. So you have to get there first. So you have to be really smart and strategic about when and where and how you're running for office, whether you're a female, male, or anything else.
We saw in Pennsylvania, in Western Pennsylvania, a Representative Aaron Mulchaney, who was representing a part of Pittsburgh in the legislature. She was elected to a term in 2012, and then her district was consolidated, and she immediately lost to, she received a strong challenge from a fellow Democrat, Harry Reidshaw, and lost her seat. Is this part of the problem that there is a culture in the state legislature that oftentimes, if it's not an open seat, if it's a man running against a woman, and particularly if the man is the incumbent, that voters are predisposed for voting for the male candidate as opposed to the female candidate?
Well, I think there's always the power of the incumbency. And I think that's true whether you are a male or female, and also in terms of fundraising and other aspects that you need to be a strong candidate. Aaron's situation was somewhat of an anomaly because she actually represented the district that I had previously represented. And that, very unfortunately, when it came time for redistricting, that was the seat that Allegheny County lost to Allentown. So she was then districted in by where she lives in Mount Washington to Harry Reidshaw's district, a district that he is very well known. And I know Harry and I used to split one of the suburban municipalities. Harry is loved in his district. So I know that when I would go to events there and I was a new legislator, people would say, oh, here's Chelsea Wagner. She's doing a great job representing us here in Whitehall. But here's Harry Reidshaw, and you will never find a better representative. So I think that's one of those situations where for Aaron, which is an anomaly because she was also an incumbent, but she was an incumbent who had lost her district as a result of that redistricting. That was a mess, as everyone remembers, that it changed about four times.
So allow me to be devil's advocate here, because there are probably a lot of people saying, what difference does it make as long as we have the best representative, whether it's a man or a woman? The fact that the Pennsylvania legislature is so that the constituents are so underrepresented by women. What is it that we miss by not having more women in the legislature? What is it that women bring to the political scene in terms of a different sensibility than men have?
Well, studies have shown that women are better at building consensus. And also,
Not like we couldn't use that in Harrisburg.
Exactly. I mean, I think that this recent budget might illustrate it best. And people may disagree with me, but I think that if you look at an issue like that where you only have male voices at the table, maybe it wouldn't have solved everything, but I think having more female voices there do in fact make a difference. There's this theory that's been applied elsewhere of critical mass. So you've heard it a lot more recently on making sure women get into more positions on boards nationally, using a number of 30% as the threshold at which women in this case can really impact the culture. And so that, I believe, is very applicable, and it's been written about in terms of politics. And so where in Pennsylvania, you have just 18% of our legislative delegation, but then you go back to Allegheny County and we're at 0%. So I think of a lot of personal experiences. And
well, you were the first Democrat in Pennsylvania to give birth while serving in the House. And this, I've heard you talk about this. You say that it has led people, or at the time it led people, to question your presence on the House floor.
Right, right. And so I would bring, we were in a budget impasse that year. That was 2009. So my son was born in the summer, but it required me to be back to work 10 days later. So we all packed up and went to Harrisburg. And I do have to say, on a personal level, all of my male colleagues were incredibly supportive and wonderful people. I mean, one of the pictures that I love, they threw a surprise baby shower for me. So I walked into our delegation conference room and there are, about 12 or 15 of my male colleagues standing around a baby cake. I don't think you see a picture like that. Yet at the same time, when my son was born, and these guys know my husband. I mean, they get along very well with my husband. My husband's in politics. I had some of those guys and colleagues say to me, it's so wonderful that your husband's a stay-at-home dad. Now, my husband's not a stay-at-home dad, but that was just the perception, because in a culture there that is so, so overwhelmingly male-dominated, it was presumed by many people that for me to be there working meant that with kids, my husband was staying at home. When we know that now of two-parent households, the largest segment are two working parents, about 50% of them. So it's really...
Yeah, you wonder where some of these guys have been if they're asking a question like that.
Right, but it's cultural. I mean, I don't think any of it is comes out of malice, but if you're not exposed to anything, I think it's natural to draw different conclusions. And those are the kind of things that, that's very anecdotal. But if you're missing that on just aspects of everyday family life, you think of how that impacts the more important pieces of legislation. And one of the things I always talk about a question that I ask, if I'm in front of school children, even children as young as kindergarten or first grade, if I'm there, I will ask them by show of hands, in your family, who does the budget in your household? And I always see more kids will raise their hand and tell me that their mother does the budget. And so then you think of just recently in these budget talks or any other year when the budget is proceeding, it's all men. And so it's just not reflective of our society, and certainly not reflective of what's going on here in Allegheny County.
Well, and when you say that there are, again, I'm trying to get past the idea that there are people in the legislature who are not aware of the high number of families in which both parents are out working and the kids are in daycare or being cared for by someone else. I mean, you would think that people that are not aware of that are a little out of touch.
Well, but you also have, there's an age difference too. And so, a lot of the colleagues that I had in Harrisburg, and, this is true, I think, throughout Pennsylvania, that not only was I one of the few women, I was also one of the younger members. When I was there, I was the youngest female in the House. There were many men who were the same age as me or younger than me. But so I had more counterparts as representatives who, when they had children, their wife was staying at home taking care of the kids. And there's obviously nothing wrong with that. I have a number of friends that do that. But when you look at the numbers, that's not where we are in the struggles.
Well, economically,
that come along
there
with
just
that.
Are not enough families that can afford to even do that.
Absolutely.
Is there still an old boys network in local and state politics as far as you are concerned?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, like other aspects, and I think there are certainly similarities when you look at racism, you know, when you look at the sexism, it is less seen on the face of things. And so it's more of an undercurrent. But I think it plays into so much. And we talked about this briefly, but I definitely think that played into my election last year. I don't think that, you know, many of the people who I get along with, you know, we kind of cross that bridge, and I really don't hold grudges, but they're good people. But I think the culture is we don't have one female in that delegation. And I think that really says something about where it needs to change. I don't think it's ill-intended, but culturally, it is really just calling out for a change.
And I do want to discuss your reelection last year when you were running for reelection against Mark Flaherty as county executive. It became particularly nasty, and we'll get into some of that. We're talking with Chelsea Wagner, who is the county controller, and is with us here in studio. You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002 with a comment or question. 412-246-2002. And we'd like to hear from you on whether you think more women should run for office in Pennsylvania and ways that you think that more women could be elected to our state legislature. As I mentioned at the outset, currently there are no women representing Allegheny County in the Pennsylvania legislature. And at this point, only two women have declared their candidacy for the legislature in 2016. Let's go to Joe in Hopewell with a question. Hi, Joe. You're on with Chelsea Wagner.
Oh, hi, Chelsea. How are you?
Hi, Joe.
Host, it's fantastic you guys have shows like this. I only have one question. You brought up the old boys network. I think we need an old gals network like an Emily's List where women who have financial means put money together and make sure they back women candidates. I met a person at the Pennsylvania luncheon last year at the in Philadelphia, and she ran for Congress, and she had no financial support whatsoever. And without that money to help get your name out there and work on the election, it's very tough. And I think they definitely need to put together a group that, you know, supports women like the Emily List does nationally.
And I was going to ask you, sure. Thank you, Joe. I think it's a great point. And just for the realities of fundraising, the vast majority of people who are giving money are, in fact, men. The vast majority of people that are giving money are folks who have government business. And likewise, you see fewer women represented in that segment. But I do think that one of the successes that we have had here in Allegheny County, and I was a beneficiary of this, as was Lisa Bennington back in 2006, was Run Baby Run, which was started by Elsie Hillman. And what was, I thought, so brilliant about that, which is slightly different from Emily's List, is that it did not basically discriminate against any candidate based on views. It just said, we need more women. I don't care if you're a Republican. I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care what your stance is on all of these different issues. And that goes to what I had mentioned before with some of those studies, where it's not necessarily just a test of issues, but where women are proven to be better consensus builders and collaborators, regardless of what differences we might have on some very divisive issues for all of us politically.
You ran for re-election as county controller against Mark Flaherty last year, or in 2014, actually. Rich Fitzgerald, the county executive, who has taken issue with your work as controller, as have others, aggressively backed your opponent, Mark Flaherty, and it got pretty nasty. Would it have gotten as nasty if the incumbent had been a man instead of you? And I guess it was 2015, actually, that you ran.
Well, I think what was different about that, and you know, there I think were other factors, but what was particularly unique is you saw all of the establishment spend a lot of money. I was outspent 8-1 on TV. I was outspent by about 17-1. But many of my former colleagues, I can't say all of them, but they were able to corral really many, many of the elected officials and the highest ranking elected officials to support my opponent and, in fact, work to unseat me. And I think that was what was particularly unique. You haven't seen that before with another incumbent. And I think that...
Why do you suppose that was?
You know, I don't know that I know the answer, but I can say that throughout that race, what my husband would always say to me, and as I said, my husband's in politics, and you know, he understands some of the political stuff more than I do, where you know, I've always kind of focused more on the government side of things, but he'd always say to me, "You're going to be so much better for going through this." And after I'd, you know, throw every expletive in the book out at him during that race, I learned a lot. And I think what is most disturbing and disappointing in some ways is that I don't know if it's just about politics or, you know, more largely about human nature, is just that tendency to follow. And so in politics, especially now as we talk about this issue of having such a dearth of women in office here locally, it's always been the same. So it really self-perpetuates, and I think that's why we really do need to look at it as a crisis and continue to talk about it. I'm really appreciative for you doing that today.
Well, clearly our listeners are engaged. Audrey, in an email, says, "How do we rein in the male Allegheny County elected officials who sometimes declare that a woman couldn't win a particular seat and then put up and finance inept male candidates who then lose?" And this has a familiar ring to it. I don't know necessarily that your opponent, that it's fair to say that he was inept. A lot of people supported him. But Audrey makes an interesting point here. What about her question?
Well, I think it's a very good question. And I think that data, although I haven't looked at this kind of data in a few years, so it might be a little bit stale, but for a while it has been shown that women candidates do run better than male counterparts, if you make everything else equal, and that people tend to trust women more. You know, there are always going to be differences with this, but if you take a standard race, there are some additional points that you are going to give a woman off the bat just for that frustration that we see everywhere that people have with government and politics right now. So, any of those sort of rationalizations that a man is going to run better is really not supported in the statistics. But I think one of the reasons that you see that, and this you see also the similarities in business, where men are more likely to mentor younger men. And so the initiatives and emphasis that has been placed on that in politics with women, just like it has been in the corporate world, that it's more common that if somebody sees, oh, this seat is open, who are we going to think of to run for this? And automatically they think of christening a younger male because that's the person who's been around in their circle and that's a person who has been the recipient of some sort of mentorship from that establishment group.
Is it kind of a chicken and egg thing where if there are no women in representing Allegheny County in the state legislature, then even if a woman gets elected, there's nobody from the area that can mentor them.
Right.
You have to get in there and get some experience. So somebody, I guess, is going to have to be like you and perhaps pave the way.
Well, one thing I did want to mention from before is there are, in fact, three women declared
in third
Allegheny
now?
County. Yes. And I'd heard that number a few times, but I know at least there are three.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear.
Right.
But still not a great number.
No, it is not. I think Dana Brown from
Chatham University.
Exactly. She had mentioned this in the City Paper article where it's important to focus on the so-called winnable seats. And that's what I said was beneficial to me when I first ran in 2006. Likewise, when I first ran for controller in 2011, because in 2011, there was a vacancy. I was not running against an incumbent. And I think that as idealistic as we all want to be, whether we're being idealistic on different political issues or on the fact that we need women filling these positions, we also have to be pragmatic and understand that for anyone, your chances are much, much greater at winning an election if there isn't an incumbent or if there is some particularly hot issue.
What made you want to run? A lot of people are interested in serving in public office, but what dissuades them from doing it, and this would be men or women, is the idea that running for office is just not something that people want to go through. It gets nasty, and it seems to be getting even nastier out there.
And I think that's true. When I ran, I had moved back to Pittsburgh, actually to attend law school. And so I had been back here. I finished law school. I started working as an attorney. But I had lived in a few other cities, and I think it was the same kind of frustration. And the studies show this, too. Many men that tend to run are in positions where they've always planned on doing this, where, you know, from a little boy or maybe in high school or in college, they saw that as their career path. My experience was more like most other women, where it's more issue-based. So I do believe, as many people do here, that, you know, Pittsburgh's a community that is a great size where we can really do a lot of things if we put our minds to it. We don't have the same kind of magnitude of problems that other cities have. So I think that many of our issues we should be able to tackle. So that is what really had motivated me. And I do have to give the caveat that I was raised in a political family.
Sure.
So these were my dinner table conversations, even though I never, ever thought that I would run for office, especially at a younger age. I always thought maybe, you know, I'll go make money, I'll go be a lawyer or whatever it is. And maybe as a second or third career when I'm older, my kids are older, that's something that might interest me.
We are talking here on Essential Pittsburgh with Allegheny County Controller Chelsea Wagner, who is also a former member of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives. And she's looking to get more women to run for office. If you have ideas or questions, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002. What do you think about the idea of more women running for office, and what are ways in order to make that happen? Again, 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH@WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Does the system have to change for women to run, or do women have to change the system to pave the way for themselves?
I would say the latter, because I don't think the system is going to change on its own. And even just in the relatively short time that I've held elected office, which is about 10 years now, we now have fewer women in our legislative delegation than we did when I was there. So I don't think it's ever going to change itself unless we really wake up and look at that. And I can tell you, back when I first ran in 2006, we polled, as you do with any of these elections, and it really astonished me back then that when we asked the question, does it matter to you that in Allegheny County's legislative delegation, there are no women? So Chelsea would be the only woman. And of course, then you also had Lisa. But it really didn't move people back then. Now, I haven't pulled on that same question now 10 years later, but I'd really be interested in seeing that and comparing that data side by side. But I believe that awareness has been raised. I think people can tell the difference. And that's one of the things that I did see in my own race, where many women would come up to me and it resonated with them in a different way. So even though it wasn't being covered as a male-female issue, both women and men, I think, reacted in a way that were supportive, in part for those reasons.
Let's go to the phones. We have Ann from Friendship on the line. Ann, welcome. You're on with Chelsea Wagner.
Hi.
Hi, Ann.
I just wanted to say that Chatham University's Pennsylvania Center for Women in Politics worked to encourage undergraduate women to consider political office, and also they have community programs such as the Ready to Run program. I know that Muriel Bowser, who's the current mayor of D.C., is a Chatham alum. I'm not sure if she was involved in any of that or not, but I just wanted to mention that those programs that Chatham runs.
So, Anne, thank you for that call, and she's pointing to some programs that are creating awareness of this.
Right, and they're great programs. It's a very good point, and I did not know that.
Nor did I.
Yeah, so that it's wonderful to know that Mayor Bowser is a Chatham alum. That's great to know, I think, for our region. But there are some other programs as well, and many of them do emphasize, I think, correctly, that you need to get women in on the ground level. So the first step won't always be successful if the first step is a run for a particularly high office, say Congress, or even sometimes State House. You might need to make sure that you are getting your name out there in local government, which is the same way our male counterparts typically ascend to these offices.
Let's take one last call from Edith from Pittsburgh. Edith, welcome. We're running short on time, so go ahead with your question or comment. Hi, Edith. Edith, are you there?
This is Judith.
Oh, Judith. Okay, well, I beg your pardon.
That's all right.
What we had on the
I
screen.
I was waiting for somebody named Edith to answer you.
Yeah, right. Of course anyway, you were. Thank you, Judith. Welcome.
My statement is this, that Chelsea's husband and her father did not mentor her properly. You need women to mentor these women. How to act and react in politics. And that's why Chelsea was not reelected, was simply because she was not mentored properly. I know she may feel that she was ready, but there were things that she really needed mentored in, and no one was there to help her because there were men all around her.
Judith, I appreciate that comment. Chelsea, what do you think of what Judith is saying?
Well, I was reelected, but I think that all of us, myself included, I'm always looking for more mentorship. But you hear many, many women in politics refer to male mentors that they have had because, and much like other industries, again, you can make the analogy to corporate America or, you know, the corporate world beyond the United States, that if you have more men, or traditionally men in the halls of power, who else is in fact going to mentor you? So I've had many great mentors, you know, beyond certainly family. They're a little too close to to call them mentors. It's a little bit more heated than that. But I've been fortunate that I've had some many great female mentors as well as male mentors.
Chelsea Wagner is Allegheny County Controller and a former member of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, joining us today to talk about ways to get more women to run for office and hopefully more will. Chelsea Wagner, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate you talking about this.
Our pleasure. Coming up, today marks the beginning of the traditional Chinese New Year. We'll find out how the Pittsburgh community is celebrating. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.